Welcome to Elevation Nation with your hosts, Sam Panich and Parker Yablon. Elevation Nation is a community focused on bringing together young adults who are elevating themselves and others every day. Each Thursday, we take 15 minutes to talk about what's going on in the real world and touch on all the great things that Elevation Nation is up to.
What's up, Sam? How we doing?
Hello, Parker Yablon. Sounds like you are busy per usual. I hope you had a lovely day. Excited to give you some time to decompress and talk about fortitude in 15 minutes. I'll have you know, I spent some time today practicing your speech for your wedding, and I think you're going to cry. Just want to let you know.
Everyone thinks I'm going to cry at this wedding, my wedding.
You're definitely going to cry. The bet is, are you going to cry for my speech or not? That's the bet.
I'm an emotional guy, but maybe I'll pull a wild card and not
Nothing
cry.
Nothing wrong with it.
You know, I own it, dude. I mean, at my bachelor party, I gave that speech. I cried the entire time. It was a good hour.
I want you to cry. I'm just letting you know, I believe it will make you cry.
Okay, that's Sam's goal. We'll have to see in a couple weeks. I'm getting married in 19 days, 18 days, something like that. That is pretty freaking crazy. The start of a new chapter in my life and JJ's life, and we're excited about it. How are you fortituding this week, Sam? Tell us what's up.
I'm incredible, man. Great things going at Elevation Nation. We have a ton of momentum helping our elevators get new value by meeting new and other elevators. We got a ton of great conversations teed up, more podcasts getting scheduled with some really exciting new guests. And most importantly, Parker, I get to spend 15 minutes with you right now talking about something we both are so passionate about, the concept of happiness, something I think everybody is searching, especially young adults. And you did something that you, I guess, are trying to bring back. I write LinkedIn articles. Parker took a video and put it on LinkedIn. I'm really proud of you for getting back into the social media game. Talk to us about that video and the study that inspired that little selfie that you took.
It was a bold. I talk about mental fortitude to post a video on LinkedIn of me sitting in the park with my hoodie on, very anti-LinkedIn-esque. But you know what? That's me. And if the professional world has something to say about it, come say it to my face. I think it was a good video, though. So this week, or I think last week, Gallup, along with a bunch of other academic entities, put out this year's version of the World Happiness Report. If you have not taken a look at it, I highly encourage you search for it on Google and take a look. It's like a lot of pages, like 90 plus pages. So it's definitely a deep read. But there are definitely summaries out there from it. And I'm going to summarize some key takeaways that I had. And the main one being is that for the first time ever recorded in this report's history, the United States as a country fell out of the top 20 of happiness of countries in the world. And one of the main drivers of that was that people under the age of 30 are feeling it the most. Man, that hit home. I was like, I wrote in my LinkedIn post, I'm like, this is making me feel the opposite of happy reading this. In a world where we have access to more things than ever, in a world where we're more connected than ever, you could say we're healthier in some ways, in some regards, we're unhappier. What are your thoughts about that, Sam?
It's a sad reality, but it does not surprise me for 1 minute. Americans have been comparing ourselves to each other, especially the younger generations, consistently due to the rise in social media. And I think one thing we know, Parker, is comparison has always made people unhappy. There is another study that came out about financials, right? This was years ago. Someone who makes $100,000 and their peers around them make $50,000 is happier than that same person who would make $1 million and their peers make $10 million. you compare yourself to your community and the people around you. It's only natural as a human, as we've grown up and evolved from our tribes, we wanted to have more food, have more resources than the other people that were with us kind of in this battle of life. And so that inherent concept has been evolved. And social media now has expanded our bubble. We're not just comparing ourselves to the people that are in our neighborhoods of similar socioeconomic backgrounds. We're now comparing us to the global world. And because of that, and because we're selective and we only look at some of the positive things in social media, right? The beautiful vacations, the incredible homes, the things that get the clicks and the views are mostly really nice, fancy, beautiful things. And so the happiness rate going down in the US does not surprise me for one bit, because we're now comparing ourselves to a global, diverse world of really the top of the top in the creme de la creme. And so it makes sense that young adults are feeling a little bit less happy than probably our parents and grandparents, who are just comparing themselves to the people in their immediate and direct areas.
Some other things that they noted, to your point, depression increasing like crazy, anxiety increasing like crazy, screen time went up, especially for young people. And what went down, Sam, was in-person interaction. Man, I'm not going to go on a whim and say they're all correlated by any means, because there's a lot of science and statistical ways that people, you know, put numbers together to get correlations. But I can go on a whim and say, man, if you think about it, the last 4 years, the isolation that we faced for a couple of years, to the point of the explosion of TikTok and the world of connectivity has taken another world of its own. Forget us. We're 28. How about younger people? Imagine us 10 years ago and the amount that you're already comparing yourself to others as a young person. And then you add this element of social media where people can portray themselves in any single way. And then the only real way that you watch them or get connected is through a phone. We're looking down instead of looking up, and that becomes our reality. Man, I mean, that sounds really freaking weird. And to me, a big contributor to this problem in some way. I mean, there's probably many other problems that contributed, but the phone, man.
To your point on screen time, Parker, I was talking with some buddies at the boxing gym the other day, and we were kind of throwing it back. We all were about 26 to 30, and we were talking about some of the games that we used to play when we were little. Backyard baseball, right? Roller Coaster Tycoon, Sims on the computer. And it made me think, at that time, screen time was limited because there was usually only one computer in the household, right? Maybe two. I think we had an old computer in my basement and my dad's work computer upstairs when we were little, and that was kind of the norm. And you got to go play on the computer and you shared it with your siblings or your family. There was one screen, limited time. Now we have screens with us, on us 24/7, in bed, on the toilet, in the morning, on the commute, on our wrists, when we work out. And so screen time has, of course, increased. And I think back to your point, Parker, you were saying, what are younger people doing? I'm worried to bring a child into this world, right? And I think a lot of our generation of people who are starting to do that, I don't know how you properly parent kids when there's screens at their disposal 24/7. Some of my fondest memories that I think shaped me and my communication and social skills was when we came home after school and we just went in the street and in the park and played with our neighbors. I don't even know if kids do that anymore.
I'm sure kids still do that, Sam. Maybe not to the extent that we did, but
I hope so. I hope you're right. Some of my best memories were playing roller hockey at our neighbor's house. My childhood memories. Some of the best.
That's awesome. Yeah, mine is playing football in the front yard of my neighbor's house just every day.
Yep.
Kicking my sister's ass in basketball, not letting her get a point.
Congrats.
Yeah, I'm sure she wasn't very happy in those moments as well. So, you know, when I was letting, you know, win 11 to nothing. But sorry, Colby, you probably could beat me now. But yeah, man. I mean, so let's bring this back. Where are we at now? We're 28 years old. young people trying to navigate the real world and elevate ourselves every day using mental fortitude. The last 3 months, dude, I felt very glued to my phone in a different way. And it's weird. It feels like it's become more addictive recently. And I don't know why I feel that way. It's
what part in particular? Like social media or?
No, just the idea of checking your phone and the gratification that you get from a text message, you get from a notification, you get from looking on Twitter and swiping down, and maybe there's a Baltimore Ravens update that I want to read in the hope that there is. You know, those are small gratifications that you can get at any point in any time. And I feel like more than ever, myself personally have felt that. And that's why I posted the video. At the end of the video, if you watch it all the way through, is like, I hope this is your sign to put the phone down, because maybe it's my sign too. It's so true, because in the next couple months, especially as I get married, go on my honeymoon, like, time to be a little bit more intentional about how I'm using my phone and how I'm using my technology, because
I can feel my
brain needing it in some way, like it's an addiction, which it is. It's not an addiction like alcoholism or drug use or gambling or, you know, you name it. But it's a different form of addiction. And every person in some way, shape, or form is kind of dealing with that. So it makes it normal.
Good thing we're not normal.
I don't know. I mean,
or we try not to be.
I mean, who knows, man? Who knows? But that is definitely the thought of the week. And like I said, if you haven't been able to check out the World Happiness Report, take a look at it. Just take a stab. It's just interesting to open up your eyes to some hard data about the world that we live in. Otherwise, Sam, question for you. How are you elevating this week? Anything in particular?
Great question. Yeah, I'm making a conscious effort to take not criticism, but observations about myself that other people share with me and work on trying to become the best person and version of myself that I can be. And sometimes those are hard conversations, but I think they're real conversations that if you don't have someone calling you out on your bullshit and some of the struggles and tendencies that you have, you're never going to elevate. And so don't surround yourself with yes men. Surround yourself with people who challenge you to elevate. That's what I'm doing this week.
I feel that, and I couldn't agree with you more, especially, you know, situations I've been in particular this week too. So surrounding myself with people that keep you real and keep you grounded, and it doesn't always feel good, but in the long run, who cares how you feel? It's about where you're going. For me, how I'm elevating this week, Sam, me, I'm trying to get back in my routine of early wake-ups, getting to the gym. I'm still going to the gym. I hadn't been waking up as early because I'd be waking up in the middle of the night, and then I'm up for 45 minutes to an hour, and I'm like, shit, I need the extra sleep. Now I'm just like, up at this time. It elevates my day to be able to get my day started earlier, get to the gym before I'm starting my work day. That is so important for me, and I cannot take that for granted, because days I don't go to the gym before work are very different days than the days I do go to the gym before work. It's, if we're talking about statistics that I'm coming up in my head, that is a statistic that is correlated.
Could not agree more. All right. Elevator shout outs. Elevator 134. Jahan Ansari. This can't be confirmed or denied yet. It might be a rumor, but I'm going to give him a shout out anyway. Pretty sure he just got accepted to be on next season of The Bachelorette. Kind of cool. First elevator on The Bachelor. Again, can't confirm nor deny. We're going to have to check with our man himself. But if it's true, we got something we have to cheer for. I think we might have to watch that show, Parker. We'll see.
We will see. All right, my shout out is for Elevator 45, Brett Deshefsky. Man, he's building really something cool in New York City. He's putting on events, part of his new business, Creator Economy NYC, bringing together content creators in the New York City area. And he's taking it by stride. And he's elevating more than ever, bringing together a bunch of creators in the area, doing panels, events, newsletters, posting all the time about it. He's definitely a go-getter, an elevator for sure, and will continue to be doing amazing things. So shout out, Brett. Love what you're doing. Love what you're about.
Elevation Nation, be happy. Until next week, peace.
Thanks for tuning in to Elevation Nation. If you enjoyed our conversation, hit that subscribe button to get notified when we release a new episode. If you would like to join Elevation Nation or get more information about the nation, please visit our website at www.elevationnation.io. Until next week, Elevation Nation, peace.